It's Andy Parks and Fred Grandy, live from the Washington Times. And on this Thursday afternoon, I want to talk to Dr. Milton Wolf, Washington Times columnist, board-certified radiologist, and cousin of Barack Hussein Obama. He's got a piece in today's Washington Times called GOP Must Fight Corporate Welfare. Hello, Dr. Wolf. How are you?
Greetings from one of the last conservative holdouts in America. How are you today?
What was that, your house?
At least one of the last conservatives in my family.
Okay.
All right, so I'm reading your piece this morning, and I take away from it that Republicans keep falling into the Democrats' trap. How so? We let them dictate the message? Is that the problem?
You know, it's amazing to watch. The Democrats will force the Republicans to follow their agenda, will be Democrat light, will give a little bit of what the Democrats want, and they will turn around and run against Republicans for acting like Democrats. And Republicans just keep falling for it over and over again.
Now, Fred, you never did that when you were in Congress, did you?
No, that actually goes back to really the founding of the Republican Party. that has been a default position for the Republican Party for as long as there's been a Republican Party. And I don't know why that is, but the attitude has been for generations, me too, only less.
I have a number of theories of why it may be, but in reality, whatever has caused it, We've got to accept this fact, and this has been, I think, a rude awakening in this election. You know, we've always liked to say that we're a center-right country. We love to point to the polls that say that conservatives outnumber liberals 2-1.
Yeah.
But I think we have to wake up to this fact that that's just not true, that those polls are an indication of self-identified conservatives, but not actual conservatives, not people who really will walk the walk, who really believe that freedom means prosperity. And instead, they're looking for their own handout. They're just looking to stop everyone else's handout. And that's not a conservative. And Barack Obama exploited that. He found a majority voting alliance of people who are beneficiaries of big government, and many of whom call themselves conservatives.
That may be why California, which as recently as 15 years ago was a purple state with a Republican governor and prominent Republicans in the legislature, is now so decidedly blue that it has a veto-proof majority in the California Assembly, and every single elected state official is a Democrat.
Wow.
I mean, that works in Sacramento.
I weep for Californians, although I have to say that at least the other 49 states, the people in the other 49 states, hopefully will learn that lesson of what blue state politics does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, socialism is this idea that we can always have somebody else pay our bills. And we all think that somebody else is going to pay our bills until we ultimately just run out of money.
Yeah. In your piece today, you talk about the need to divide those who benefit from social programs into those who are entitled and those who game the system. But that's easier said than done, isn't it?
It is. But if I'm right that we as conservatives are in a minority, we simply have to split their alliance up. And I think the biggest cleft in their alliance, the biggest division, is between the people who are willing to work and the people who are not. And let's look at, for example, retirees who are beneficiaries of government, and that in the form of Social Security and Medicare. But let's be fair to them. Let's not just put them in that so-called 47%. These are people who worked hard all of their lives and earned those benefits, at least insofar as what they paid in taxes. Now, the biggest threat to their benefits is not reform of the system, which would impact future generations. The biggest threat to their benefits are the people who want their free Obama phones, who want their welfare benefits, who want to have the food stamps that now up to 47 million Americans.
Mm-hmm.
These people who sit on the sofa, game the system, and hope somebody else will provide for them. That's the biggest threat to Social Security and Medicare today. We need to divide those two groups, and the retirees should naturally be our allies. They should say, hey, look, I worked hard. I think you should work hard, too.
You know, one of the things I've always found interesting about the ability for Democrats to usually outmaneuver Republicans in these arguments about taxes and spending and entitlements and whatever, and particularly when we're talking about the middle-class entitlements of Medicare and Social Security, is Democrats are all for a progressive tax code. I mean, they live and die on that. That's one of their core concepts. But they are much less receptive to a progressive benefit code that would perhaps cap the availability of benefits, Medicare beneficiaries, or even Social Security beneficiaries, who are so rich they don't even need the benefit. Why do you suppose that is, Dr. Wolf?
Well, of course, when FDR created Social Security, many of his advisors said, you know, this should not be giving benefits to the wealthy. They don't need it. We should only create this system to give benefits to the people who need it. Now, he was pretty cunning in what he did, and it was a very destructive idea, but he said, no, we're going to give these benefits to everyone so that we don't let this program look like a welfare program. People don't like welfare, but they certainly like Social Security. Now, if you can hide benefits inside of a program like Social Security and therefore give somebody something, frankly, they didn't earn,
right.
Well, they don't feel as though they're taking anything from the government. They feel like they've earned it. Now, the other side of that is I think that most Americans, regardless of party or belief, would say any American who cannot help themselves, then we should help them, whether it be on an individual basis, a corporate basis, a church group, or even as the federal government. We should help them. And I would hold fast to that. I think that defines us as Americans. But when we create this system where we let everyone have this sense that the government's taking care of them and therefore somebody else will pick up the bill, well, eventually, you know, like Margaret Thatcher famously said, eventually you run out of other people's money.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned corporations, and obviously the title of your piece today has the word corporate in it, and corporate welfare. Solyndra comes to mind. The Chevy Volt comes to mind. I mean, it's welfare. I mean, that you know, plain and simple. You know, we're providing aid to companies that really should be allowed to default.
Well, yes, but the word that was coined, and I think it was probably most successfully coined by Clinton and then perpetuated by his successors, is investment.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they've co-opted a word from the Republican playbook.
As revenues today is to taxes.
Right. Right.
Well, this corporate welfare, it has to end. And the interesting thing is, nobody wants to say they're giving out corporate welfare. Of course, neither side does. Republicans could capture, this is an 80% issue, if Republicans would capture this and simply say, no more bailouts, no more handouts. We're not talking about cutting welfare to families who may be in need. We're talking about cutting welfare to corporations. Let's stop it all. But that means we have to stop those, stop the welfare that's going to Republican interests as well. That's the only way that we will have a moral position on this issue, to stop the welfare that Barack Obama is giving out.
Mm-hmm. All right, before I let you run, I know Fred wanted to chat with you for a second about Obamacare very briefly.
Well, I just, because you've been so vocal and lucid on Obamacare, I just wanted to get your reaction to what the future is for these various exchanges that I believe as many as 16 states are now saying we're not going to participate in creating the exchanges, the state-run health care bureaus that would help people buy insurance. And I don't know what that means for HHS and the federal government, but I got to believe that this infrastructure is rickety at best and probably so fragile it could crash and burn.
You are dead on. The exchanges were created to do one thing, fail.
Right.
That's their intention. When they fail, they will leave behind what I've termed medical refugees. They will leave behind millions of Americans who cannot find insurance. They're going to continue putting the squeeze on private insurance companies. They were, of course, the boogeymen throughout the 2009-2010 debate of this. Once in a while, Barack Obama slipped, and he tried to make doctors the boogeymen, and he backed off of that. Remember, he said doctors would lop off your foot or take out your tonsils to make a buck. Well, what they'll do is they're going to destroy the private insurance market. People are going to be left without insurance, and so they've already planned 2014 to bring back the public option, which, of course, is the next step to the single-payer plan, just outright socialized medicine.
Okay, so to cut to the chase, to some degree, the entire exchange mechanism is designed to crash and burn, and in its rubble you build a single-payer system. And the Obama administration will say, and their Democrats in Congress will say, we tried it, but it just didn't work.
It's very purposeful.
Yeah.
Once the insurance companies are out of the way, then the hospitals will become the next boogeymen. Once the hospitals are nationalized, then the doctors, nurses, other health care providers will be the next boogeyman.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Finally today, did you send a congratulatory note to the president, your cousin?
You know, he and I agree to disagree on that one.
Really? So I guess you won't be having lunch with him and Mitt Romney then.
I wasn't invited there, but let me just say that usually I get sat at the kids' table, but that's okay.
All right. Great to talk to you, Dr.
Thank
Wolf.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you, guys.
Dr. Milton Wolf.